Father God, the words of that last song, come, Lord Jesus, come. We invite you into this room this morning. But not just into this room this morning. Come, Lord Jesus, come. It should be the plea of our hearts for our lives. You're invited into our lives to rule our lives, to rule our actions, to rule our words. And may that be our plea as individuals. Just come, Lord Jesus. Father God, as we go into this next portion of the service and we open your word and we study your word together, may we be influenced and impacted by what your word says, by how it guides us. I pray, Lord God, that you will wrestle in our hearts, that you'll stir in our hearts as believers, as we spend time in your holy word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you open up your phones, go on your computers, iPads, whatever technology you're using, and if you're on social media and you start looking at anything on social media sites, as you open up newspapers, either the paper ones or the electronic ones, whatever it is, you are aware, if you do any of those things, of this idea, this concept called cancel culture. I see it in social media. I see it with my friends that are non-believers. I see it with my friends that know Jesus Christ personally. And I want to talk today, next Sunday, about this whole cancel culture thing, because I think it's important that we come to grips with this as believers, as we are to kind of set a path for culture and for our society. Like that's part of the plan that God has for our lives, is that we'll be used to influence and change society. And so that's where we're going today and next week. Today, as we're talking about cancel culture, here's what I'm talking about, just so we're kind of all on the same page, right? Cancel culture, for the purposes of today, is, in sense, a modern form of ostracism, of shunning or excluding, in which somebody is thrust out of social or professional circles, whether it be online, on social media, or in person. And those who are subjected to this are said to have been canceled, right? They almost don't exist anymore, in my opinion, if I've canceled somebody. Their opinion certainly doesn't exist anymore. As we talk about cancel culture today, that's kind of the definition that I want us to have in our minds. But right up front, as we get going, I want to make a very clear and probably a strong statement. And I understand that there will be some of you here today that may be in agreement with me on this, and there might be some of you that aren't in agreement with this, and that's fine. And then there's some in between, and that's all good. My hope is that as we look at Scripture today, that we will allow the Holy Spirit to move within us and to help guide our opinion on this idea of cancel culture. So here's what I want to say. Here's that statement that I told you I would say. We're going to put it on the screen. As I read the Word of God, as I see that Jesus came to earth for all mankind, as I see that Jesus is the bridge to God for everyone, as I see that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for all mankind's sin, I have to believe that the idea of canceling an individual or a group of individuals cannot be an option for us as we try to reflect Jesus with our lives. Amen. Okay, so we understand what I'm saying, hopefully, by that. And to make it really simple, because that's long and fills up the whole page, let's try this. I believe cancel culture mentality goes 100%, am I clear? 100% against the Word of God. This book, it's to guide our lives. And I cannot take and find any scripture in here that would lead me to think that it's okay to cancel out a person or a group of people for whatever reason I might try to justify that with. As followers of Christ, we do not have the option of canceling somebody or a group of people because they have opposing political views than I have. Or they have the wrong understanding of theology according to who? According to me, right? Because I know everything right. Well, no, I might be wrong. Or they have some hateful or hurtful thing that's been done to them by somebody else or a group of people. That doesn't give us the right to cancel people out. Or maybe it's a group of people that's looked down upon by the church, and shame on us for the church for looking down on a group of people, but that doesn't give us the right to cancel anybody out. Maybe it's a group of people that's looked down on by culture or society. Still, doesn't give us permission. I'm not saying, and I want you to hear this, I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak out against behaviors and practices, people and organizations that go against God's word. That's not what I'm saying. The problem is that cancel culture takes it a step further. It makes up new rules to retaliate against speech or behavior or even personal opinion that has been prejudged as offensive or even controversial. And often, rather than dealing with a specific incident, it results in boycotting businesses or demanding that people be fired or be deplatformed or whatever it might be. And this has ruined many people's lives. So the question we'll consider today is, how should Christians respond to this cancel culture mentality? This morning I want us just to look at two main issues that we should have as believers in Christ, at least I'm suggesting that we should have as believers in Christ, that causes a conflict between God's word and cancel culture. So the first one is this: cancel culture is unforgiving. Cancel culture is unforgiving. If you're taking notes, it's number one. Let me just start right off the bat by reminding us that forgiveness is what Christianity is all about. Right? Like, without forgiveness, who are you and I? Where do you and I end up in life? More importantly, in eternity. Jesus' forgiveness of our sins and his expectation of us offering forgiveness to others is, like, that is the basis of Christianity. And what cancel culture does is it says, you made a mistake, get out of here. There's no offering of forgiveness in that kind of mentality. We just can't go there as believers. Once you're canceled, there's no hope for redemption or to learn from past mistakes. And anyone that continues to support something or somebody that's been canceled may also be publicly outed and canceled. Right? And Stacy talked a little bit about PK and saying that it's messy in ministry sometimes, and sometimes when we take these kind of stances that don't necessarily go in the flow of what the majority think, it might get messy. Somebody might not like you because you're not willing to just cancel out somebody or just cancel out a group of people because they're unreachable, right? God can't help them. Please. We are growing beings. I can guarantee you that anybody that has lived a number of years in life has grown as a person. As you grow as a person, your views, your understandings, even your values change over time. We grow and develop as humans, because of the experiences that we have in life, we learn from those experiences. So if we make mistakes and we're just canceled out, how do we have the opportunity to ever learn from a mistake that we make? Regarding forgiveness, cancel culture is like the absolute opposite of Christian doctrine. So I want you to turn with me in Scripture, because this is just Dustin talking. We haven't even looked at Scripture. So let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to verse 13. It's going to be page 834 if you're using one of the Bibles that's under the chair in front of you. Page 834, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Bear with each other, forgive one another, if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." The Word of God tells us to bear with each other, to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. Ephesians, if you're still at the same place, just turn back a few pages, 829. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 31. It says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." Just think about the cancel culture mentality as I reread that last passage, okay? Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. That covers a lot. And then it flips the coin over and it says, "Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." It tells us to get rid of this stuff. Problem with cancel culture is that it remembers. Cancel culture remembers all the wrongs of the past. As believers, we're told that love keeps no record of wrong. Look what Jesus said on this subject. If you go back to the book of Matthew, it's going to be page 868. Pardon me, page 685. Wow, I really read those numbers. 685. Matthew chapter 6. This is what Jesus has to say on the subject. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Really, those verses are kind of simple. If you want God's forgiveness, you must offer forgiveness to other people. A little later in Matthew, we see this exchange about forgiveness that happens between Jesus and Peter. This is in Matthew chapter 18, so just a few pages forward. Starting in verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? Up to seven times," he says. And Jesus' answer to him is, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Jesus' answer to him was not cancel, walk away from. The number 77, I don't believe to be a statement that's to be taken literally here. Remember, we aren't to keep a record of wrongs. This statement is telling us to continue forgiving others as Christ continues to forgive you and me. Listen, go back into the Old Testament, right? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. And God says in Isaiah, he says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, God says, and remembers your sins no more. In that passage, the words for my own sake means God takes away your sins because it pleases him to do so. God loves forgiveness. When you or I give a reason for God to forgive us, he does it freely, willingly, joyfully, I believe. We also have a reason to offer forgiveness. The sacrifice that Jesus did for us on the cross is that reason. Just a really quick side note on this whole idea of forgiveness, and this is not the main point of what we're talking about this morning, but it's worth pointing out or mentioning. Author Stormy O'Martin has been quoted as saying, forgiveness doesn't make the other person right, it makes you free. Wow, isn't that true? When we don't forgive somebody, then what do we do with it? We hold on to it. If we're canceling somebody out, we're usually bad-mouthing them. We're telling everybody why you shouldn't listen to that person. It's like it's renting real estate in our brains is what it's doing. Where when we offer forgiveness, it makes you free. So first point is cancel culture is unforgiving. Second reason as followers of Jesus Christ that we can't participate in this cancel culture mentality is because cancel culture is vengeful and spiteful. It's one thing to see something you don't like and decide not to support that business or that person. But cancel culture takes it the next step. Takes it a step further. What may start as signing a petition or walking in a protest those things will oftentimes turn quickly into an opportunity to create a movement to slander or disgrace or destroy a person's reputation. Too often, and this will be on the screens, this is important, too often cancel culture becomes an anger driven pursuit to dig up anything from the past that will support their cause and create more hostility. Simply put, it's vengeful and spiteful. And that attitude is far different than how God tells us to act in Scripture. So let's look at some passages. Luke chapter 6, page 729, if you're using the church Bibles. Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 27. It says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." See that? Love your enemies, do good to them who hate you, bless them, curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Now again, just to be clear, I do believe there's a difference when it comes to exposing false teachers within the church. So I want to be clear about that. I do think there's a difference. God tells us to do this, to expose false teachers within the church. In many verses, he tells us to do that. But the motive is never anger. And that's important to remember, too. The motive is love for those in the body of Christ. and a concern for those who are being deceived. As we grow in our Christian walk, we also become more sensitive about certain things, I think. And 1 Corinthians tells us that if we do anything without love, that it's meaningless. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read this so many times as we talk about the idea, the concept of love. Many of you could probably recite verses 4 through 8 for me this morning if I were to get us started on it. And though those verses are there, those aren't the ones I really want to focus on right now. The less familiar verses are verses 1 through 3. And this is what verses 1 through 3 says. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And then you jump all the way down to verse 13, right? Because then it goes into the love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, and that's all good stuff. But verse 13 we jump down to, and it says, and now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So as a church, as Christ followers, we're not here to call people names, attack how they look, or decide who is or is not going to hell. And here, that should relieve a lot of us, right? Because we don't have the authority to make that decision or the obligation to make that decision. So don't try making it. None of us should be trying to make that decision. It's not for us. As a church, what we're here for is to lift up the name of Jesus. I think this is on a slide too. But we're here to lift up the name of Jesus, to preach the word of God in its purest possible form. Are we going to make mistakes along the way? Yes, we are. But we are to do it in the purest possible form that we can. To expose error and reveal the truth of God's word through his word. We are here to assemble ourselves together as God called us to do, so that we can encourage each other and pray for one another. We're here to heal the sick and comfort the brokenhearted, to preach and demonstrate the peace of God for all who will come. When we cancel out part of culture, when we cancel out a person, are they going to come? No. We're here to preach and demonstrate the peace of God for all who come, not just for those we decide not to cancel. We are here, real simply put, to go about the Father's business under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So yes, absolutely, always stand up for what is right based on God's word, but remember the motive behind what you're doing. And do it in a way that is pleasing and honoring to God. And I don't know, some might not like hearing this, and again, might disagree, but in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it speaks about false teachers, okay? So just so we have the context of what that passage is written for. It's speaking about false teachers. I think some of the characteristics that are listed under that passage could be compared to people in the cancel culture movement. So that verse was not written for the cancel culture moment. I want to be very clear about that, okay? It's written about false teachers. But I think a lot of those characteristics can be compared to people. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, it says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understanding nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that will result in envy, strife, malice, talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Sounds right to me. Oftentimes they're conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels. Well, words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people. Wow. And then if you pick up in verse 11 and 12 in that same chapter, it says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Timothy tells us that we should pursue and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness are appreciated and needed in our country now probably more than ever. They're craved by a love-starved, lonely, isolated people. Those things get us through the bad times, the tribulations that this life can offer us. We are not called to cancel, but called to give someone a good word of hope today. We are not called to cancel, but called to give somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ through our actions and our words. So to kind of try to sum things up this morning, I think cancel culture regards some people as unredeemable. And that makes them worthy of spite. Christ and us as followers of Christ should see nobody as unredeemable. Christ doesn't see anybody as unredeemable. We as believers in Christ should see nobody as unredeemable. Repentance, salvation, forgiveness is always possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God's love is always available to all who ask and believe. Scripture is really clear about that. So if Scripture is clear about that, us participating in being a part of canceling out an individual or a group of individuals is actually getting in the way of what Christ wants to do. To be available to all. We're just putting up walls when we participate in that stuff. John 3, 16, 17, 18, 19. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him. So it's open for everybody. Shall not perish, but he have eternal life. And it goes on and says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." It's talking about everybody again, not just certain people, but to save the world through him. And then it goes again, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned." The hope of Jesus Christ is for everybody. We best not get in the way of that message. I think with what we just read in those passages in John 3:16 and what we've talked about today, I believe that there's really absolutely no situation that allows for us as believers to participate in cancel culture. In fact, I think it's fair to say that cancel culture is the total opposite of Christ culture. Amen. So some of you might agree with me on this, some of you might not agree with me on this, and again, some of you might be processing and figuring it out. But either way, I have the same questions for us to kind of leave us with this morning. And even if you don't agree with me, think about the questions that I'm asking today and over the course of this next week. Questions are simply this. Who have you canceled? Maybe we word it differently, right? Maybe it's who have you thought is just off their rockers so you ignore their existence? And quit thinking about your Uncle Johnny at Christmas dinner. He's just being goofy. He's fine. But who have you thought is off their rockers so you've kind of pushed them out of existence? Who have you disagreed with? Whatever, politically. So you ignore anything that they say. If they're a Republican, if they're a Democrat, then they can't possibly have anything good to offer to the rest of us for life. That's a cancel culture attitude. What family member has hurt you so you've just kind of ignored their presence? What person in your life, community, workplace, school, just in our world, has differing theological views than you, so you simply write them off? I encourage us to think about those questions, whether you agree or disagree with my real quick assumption of, or quick statement of, cancel culture is the total opposite of Christ culture. But for now, I just want you to think about who it might be in your life, whether you agree with that statement or not. Who in your life might you have canceled, or maybe kind of canceled, if you want to try to make it feel better? I'm happy if we go with kind of canceled. I want you to think about that till next week. Think of who, what group of people have you canceled or kind of canceled? Next week, we're going to talk about how we move forward individually and as a church regarding cancel culture. And we're going to talk about that person or group of people that is going to surface to your mind over the next 6 days, and how we move forward in that scenario as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you first and foremost. We would all agree on this morning, that you are a God that has not canceled us, and we thank you for that. You are a God that sent his Son to go to the cross for each and every one of us, and thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. As we live this life as believers in the world that we live in, we face all these different realities, and they change. They change as people experience life in new ways, and as different generations grow up, and there's so many things that play into it. But Lord God, as we live this life, and right now as we're living this life, one of these things that I believe is just so dangerous is this idea of just canceling people out. Not only are they people that we're choosing to cancel out, but they are people that you created and that you love. So help us to wrestle with that. If we're not quite convinced this morning, help us this week to wrestle with this idea and stir in our lives and in our hearts. And maybe we do a pretty good job of it. But if we're really being honest with ourselves, there's people we kind of cancel out. Stir in our hearts about that. My prayer is, Lord God, that over the course of this next week, that we'll actually think of that last question, right? Who have I canceled? Who have I kind of canceled? Whatever, how we want to phrase that. And that somebody or some group of people would surface to the top. So as we talk next week, and we dig further into your word, that it wouldn't just be an idea that we're talking about, but it would be a person or a group of people that we're talking about. I pray this in your holy name. Amen.